with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, thank you for coming on this holiday weekend. As you know, this is our last class for this semester. Father Donnie, I just assured him that we will have classes here at the Grotto next semester, starting in September. So there will be classes here next September. The subject of the classes I've not yet decided on. There is just so much, as you know, going on in the world and the church today. I would welcome, however, suggestions from you people for what we should cover. Remember, we have two classes, and this semester was on comparative religion and the priesthood. One reason that I'm going to make an announcement first: you should have received an enrollment form, a one-page enrollment form . Let me briefly explain what this is. It'll go on with the classes. This, of course, pertains to the priesthood. It is now 25 years ago I began working with the Handmaids of the Precious Blood, founded by Father Gerald Fitzgerald, whose spirituality I am publishing a book, should be finished and in print by the end of next month. In working with the Handmaids of the Precious Blood, we found, I can say we because I worked with them in founding three associations connected with the community. The community itself is a contemplative monastic community. A monastery in Rome. They have a smaller monastery in the Chicago Archdiocese, a place called Lake Villa. And their mother house is in Jemez Springs, Jemez Springs, New Mexico. I've been working with them for 25 years. Now, among the associations connected with the Handmaids of the Precious Blood is the Association of the Laity, or the Lay Associates of the Priesthood. There are now, I talked to Mother John Paul yesterday in New Mexico. She's going to Rome tomorrow morning for 2 weeks. Or the monastery they have just outside of Rome. And I asked, it was a whisper with her, that I would ask you people to sign up. And there's no obligation except to pray and sacrifice for priests. Now, there was another enclosure you should have received. You should have received the Golden Jubilee issue in a pamphlet form. Have you?
No.
Which describes the community. Should also have received a lay associate of the priesthood, and then a description. This you hold on to. This I'm asking you to please turn in before we break up this afternoon. And there's one more page on the associates of the priesthood, which is pretty much what's already here. Now, you talked to Mother John Paul yesterday. First I asked her if it was all right to have you people sign up to become lay associates. It is a canonically existing association. Priests, of course, belong to it, but mainly the laity. And the only duty is to recite the daily prayer for priests. And then suggestions to pray for priests. 10 suggestions. That's the association of the lay associates of the priesthood. No dues. No fees, no mazuma. However, in speaking to Mother John Paul yesterday, I asked her if I could announce today, and the plan is, because the Holy See for years has been telling me, do everything you possibly can to obtain help for priests. 3 years ago, I was asked by the Holy See to start a magazine for Catholic priests throughout the world. But there are so many responsibilities, I just had to beg off. There's a publication put out now by the Legionaries of Christ on the priesthood. However, this is the plan. Take about 3 months to meet the organizers. And I thought Detroit would be a good city to start with. Over the years of my priesthood, working with ODC, I have written books. I have given lectures. But I've also organized. My plan is to organize in one diocese after another an association of the laity that would, first of all, pray for priests, but specifically, pray for the priests of that diocese. Pray and sacrifice for them. May then, and this is where we'll need several months to think this through, and how to help priests. Because priests today, no words of mine can express either clearly or strongly enough how much help priests need. We're having, by the way, our first retreat for priests here at the Grotto, August the 17th through the 21st. Now, what I've asked Al Glombowski. Al, would you please stand up? I've asked Al to, well, be my liaison in beginning to organize this association of the laity to help priests. And I thought I'd give you his address, phone number, and email. You have no fax, right? It's Al Glombowski, GLOMBOWSKI. GLOMBOWSKI. His address is 5040 Bellevue, BLLEVUE, Bellevue. Is pronounced Onondaga.
Onondaga.
It is spelled O-N-O-N-D-A-G-A, Michigan. O-N-O-N-D-A-G-A, Michigan. The zip is 49264. 49264. Phone number? 517-628-2392. 517-628-2392. Email MOREAL and A with a circle around it. Then ear. Oh no, earth. Earth link period net. Earth link period net. Oh, are these small letters? What does
all
it matter?
All small letters, yes.
All small letters. So, M O R E A L, then, and A with a circle around it, earthlink, one word, period, net, N E T.
M O R E A L.
And A with a circle around it, earthlink, period, net. Because for the last 25 years in working with the handmaids, I've been working with them very closely. There was a men's group called Servants of the Paraclete, founded by the same Father Gerald Fitzgerald. But, unlike the sisters, the men are in trouble. I will not go into detail. In any case, the enemy of the precious blood, their nearest residence is Villa Maria, Illinois. Their mother house is in MS Springs, JMEZ Springs, New Mexico, and have a monastery in Rome. The monastery was organized by Mother Teresa coming in from Calcutta, Father Hardin coming from Detroit, and Mother General from New Mexico. We met for about 2 hours with the Cardinal Prefect of Vatican City. And now the Holy See to approve them as a pontifical institute with a monastery in Rome. And all they do is pray and sacrifice for priests. In New Mexico, they have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament 24 hours a day, except for Mass time. And as you also know, next month I am coming out with, well, the spirituality of their founder. And you have received, or should have received today, the closing, well, not quite the closing chapter, the second last chapter of the book. It will be published by the end of June. And needed to say, I would like to have all of you get a copy of this book. It is, of course, mainly for priests and those who are concerned about the priesthood. So, then if you would just, on this one page, if you turn this in, that means interact your contemporary vocation. Please send me information. Now, part one is simply you're becoming lay associates. Now, if you are interested in becoming, this is a promotion speech. Becoming, hey, hand me the precious blood. First of all, only feminine gender. Only women are eligible. Of course, to be unmarried. And thirdly, have a strong faith. The missionary, pardon me, the hammy, the bears of blood, have only 35 members in the whole world. And the Holy See is deeply, the Holy Father, deeply, what shall I say, attached, or what did I say, in love with what they're doing. The Seminarians for Life, a group of them are going to Rome this week. Today is what? 24th, right? 26th, they're going to Rome. And they want an audience with the Holy Father. You can write 2 months ahead of time, and you're lucky. You get even to a general audience. Well, Mother John Paul got in touch with her sisters in Rome. They contacted one of the cardinals, and the Seminarians for Life will meet the Holy Father next Wednesday. I could, of course, now talk for hours. So, that's number one. So then, male form, now, maybe there is no form to male. Consequently, I would say, if either you or someone whom you know who is interested, tell them to drop a line, hand me the bearers of blood and the address, and just say, I'm writing because Father Hardin recommended you. Please let me know more about yourselves. And I had 60 copies of the pamphlet. You all get a copy? One more word before we close. The deepest crisis in the Catholic Church is the priesthood. Numero primissimo, it is the priesthood. And the enemies of the church are out to destroy the priesthood. And they're doing a phenomenally good job. So much for that. Now, today's class. The first class is in the last chapter of your textbook. The last chapter, I don't have a copy here, but I think the last chapter is on the old Catholic Church or churches. What is it?
Old Catholic Church, Old Catholic Churches, the closing chapter.
Old Catholic.
Old Catholic.
Old Catholic.
Period. Old Catholic. Well, this then is our closing class in comparative religion on the so-called Old Catholics. I'm asking you with a chapter, but it's just a bare summary of a library was called the Old Catholic Movement. Strictly speaking, there are two kinds of persons who break with the Catholic Church and form churches of their own. Strictly speaking, the one group are Protestants, which cover a very broad area. Over 4,000 Protestant denominations, not churches. Over 4,000 Protestant denominations throughout the world. They go back, of course, to the break with the Catholic Church of the priest Martin Luther. As I've told people over the years, every break in the Catholic Church can be synthesized in one monosyllable. It is spelled S-E-X. 50 years in the priesthood. Oh, how many books I've written on how many religions. How many parties I know. Taught, as I've said so many times, 6 of their Protestant seminaries, and never once even a single lecture in Protestantism. They couldn't care less. They want to know about Catholicism, and they paid my superiors good money and me teach them not just a course, never less than a year. And 7 years at the Lutheran School of Theology, when they taught in the Evanston School of the Anglicans, called Seabury Western. Toward the end of the second semester, he invited a bishop of England, an Anglican bishop, and the two of us, and in public, gave lectures, because Father Hardin was the first Jesuit priest to teach in an Anglican seminary since Henry VIII. Isn't that neat? And you may be sure I never compromised one syllable on the Roman Catholic Church, and they loved it. By the time the second semester was over, everyone, 30 students in class, every one of those seminarians, then they were all men, everyone decided that he will be ordained only by a bishop who has valid orders. Is that nice? Either by an Orthodox bishop or by an old Catholic bishop. Oh, how much I taught them. How eager they were to learn. So the first kind of break with the Catholic Church over the centuries, I don't mean just individuals, but where new churches are formed, a generic name is Protestants. And they cover the spectrum. You name the ideas, and they've got them.
However, another group that has broken over the centuries with the Catholic Church has retained, as far as they could, retained the seven sacraments. Retained the priesthood. Retained the Mass. But one thing they discarded: the authority of the Bishop of Rome. Am I clear? Over the years in teaching comparative religion, I teach two semesters, but this is 10 lifetimes of knowledge. So I've had to synthesize, so I'm doing all for you, all organized breaks with the Catholic Church have taken one of two forms: either the Protestant form or what we now call the Old Catholic form. The Orthodox churches, they call themselves, are, for our vocabulary, Old Catholics. The terminology Old Catholic is a modern terminology. One advantage, by the way, in writing books, you can shape the vocabulary of people. And people will use the word that you defined. They know what then that word means. Now, the Old Catholics, and I gave you, I think it's a one page, here I have a two page enlarged summary. I won't go through this, but read it, please. It is not what you have in your textbook. Am I clear? It is, unless I'm mistaken, from my large, unabridged, modern Catholic dictionary. I think it's from there. The terminology that I'm giving you now, I'm applying to all breaks with the Catholic Church, where the heart of the break was not discarding the sacraments, not discarding the priesthood, but discarding the authority of the Bishop of Rome. Now, historically, the Old Catholics, as they came to call themselves, began when the First Vatican Council defined papal authority and papal infallibility. Both papal authority and papal infallibility. First Vatican Council. It lasted less than 1 year. It was during the sessions of First Vatican, the Freemasons of Italy started a revolution in Italy. And the bishop delegates all over the world had to escape Italy to avoid being murdered. So First Vatican Council closed under pressure. As a result, what we now call Italy became a republic. And among the things which the Italian Freemasons did was to steal every square foot of the Papal States. Stole everything. Owned by the Pope for 1400 years. For From then on, the popes went into hiding at the risk of their lives. And they were in hiding until Pope Pius XI worked out an agreement with the much maligned Mussolini. And the big mistake that Mussolini made was to give in to Adolf Hitler. But Mussolini was under heavy threat from Hitler. In any case, Pius XI and Mussolini worked out a treaty whereby Italy as a nation gave about, is not much more than 2 square miles back to the Pope, which is now called Vatican State. So much for the historical break. However, the First Vatican Council defined the Bishop of Rome as having supreme authority in teaching and governing the Catholic Church. And hear it. And the council defined independent of the authority of the bishops. Now the main immediate reason for the First Vatican Council was that for centuries, I would say at least 600 years, France, for centuries, a professedly Catholic country, France, the bishops of that country accepted no document, hear it, accepted no document, no teaching of the Pope unless and until the French hierarchy approved it. It is called the heresy of conciliarism. C-O-N-C-I-L-C-I-L-I-A-R-I-S-M. Conciliarism. Which means a council. In Latin, concilium. Unless an assembly of bishops approves what the Pope teaches, the people are not to obey the Pope. So the First Vatican Council was called 1870. Why? To refute, condemn that heresy. And most of the bishops agreed with that condemnation of conciliarism. But not all. And without going into a lot of detail, by the way, read both your chapter and the 2 columns that I photographed on the old Catholics for your notes today. The old Catholics have remained in existence, well, for now over 100 years. I have so many stories. Listen to this. when I was in studies with a priesthood, a priest advised me to start collecting stories, anecdotes, that I've experienced myself or that I know about. And just a few words, maybe two or three lines in number, each synopsis of the story. I would see within, 4 years of my ordination. That's 46 years ago. I then had over 5,000 stories. I cannot tell you how valuable this advice is. Start collecting stories. That's what Christ did. That's what the parables are. The best count for me is 72 parables in the Gospels. Some very short. Some, especially in John's Gospel, quite long. Well, one story I think I should tell, which illustrates what I am saying. In 1955, the World Council of Churches was to hold its international convocation in Evanston, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And the World Council of Churches organizes all the Protestants and all the old Catholics and the Orthodox of the world, all the churches. Thousands of delegates from every nation, I would say, in the world. I got orders from Rome. That was 55. This is 98. I was told by Rome, the Holy See wants all the documentation of all the meetings of that 3-week assembly of some 2,000 delegates of the World Council of Churches. This is a story. I assure you, not fabricated. So the first thing I did was to call on the then Archbishop Cardinal of Chicago, met with him, and showed him what I was told by Rome to do. When he says yes, that means you'll have to go in disguise. So I went in disguise. I am sure nobody took a picture of Father Hart dressed in a light tan suit with a red tie. And I attended the meetings. Of course, I paid my fee. However, the confidential documentation the delegates received, I was not, of course, allowed to attend those private meetings. So I had to find someone who would gather the information. I did. I found a Cathy family in Evanston, Illinois. Am I being taped? Thank you, Lord, to keep me from saying more than I should. A bishop of the old Catholic Church. He didn't know what he was doing. But his family was very friendly with his old Catholic bishop. Because he, the bishop and his wife, stayed for 3 weeks at the home of his Catholic family. Well, the bishop obtained all the confidential minutes of every meeting of the World Council of Churches. And, of course, I'd have to commute every day while the bishop was in the meeting. I would get the minutes from the previous day. Then, microfilm those minutes. They're upstairs. 65 feet of microfilm. Several thousand pages of documentation. I microfilmed them and, of course, returned everything back to the Catholic family that was housing the bishop and his wife. And my job was, of course, send those microfilms to the Vatican, which I received a beautiful letter of thanks. And, of course, no pay. Let me tell you one little story as part of that. This was on a Sunday. And the bishop, being an old Catholic bishop, and they believe in the Mass, he wanted to say Mass on Sunday. But his wife had friends in Milwaukee. She persuaded her husband, His Excellency, to go on this, visit from Evanston to Milwaukee and skip his Mass. Close the book. So far, the story. In the only Catholic churches in our country have various subdivisions. There's the National Polish Catholic Church. Various nationalities have formed, either use the word old or they use the word national. Or they use the word American, always had the word Catholic. Having said that, we're still on, the first course, namely, on the old Catholic churches. The most recent, in many ways, most serious break of Catholics while retaining the sacraments reject the authority of the Pope or the Society of St. Pius X. They are called the Lefebvreites, which they don't like. And now I'd like to share with you something about that most recent and widespread and, I would say, very harmful to the Catholic Church. I get all their publications, their private publications. I get everything first class to make sure I will open it. I don't read everything. They send me so much. And one reason is because the Holy See has given me the responsibility of restoring the Society of St. Pius X, restoring them to reunion with Rome. I know them. I've talked with them. I meet with them. With their leaders. And here I could talk not just for the rest of our time period. What is my time schedule exactly?
3 o'clock.
Is it 3?
3.
Okay. However, I would welcome as many questions as I would like to answer them. By 5 o'clock, we'll have Mass again in the chapel. You know what happened. And some of this you don't know. Pope Paul VI never wanted to authorize the vernacular in the liturgy. Do you hear it? Except such minimal concessions as in his judgment would have been, well, consistent with Catholic teaching. Because once you drop the Latin, you're doing more than just changing a language. You're inheriting the meaning beyond the words of the language that you inherit.